Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Good morning, church. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together as believers to worship you. Father, that we get to live in a nation where we have this freedom to do this, where we can share our faith, where we can gather together with our brothers and sisters, and we can worship and praise you. Father, may we just set aside whatever things are that are occupying our mind that keep us from focusing on you. Lord, may you just remove those things from our lives. And may we just cast our eyes up to you. Lord, we thank you for your offering. We thank you for your goodness and the way that you continue to provide. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, let's go ahead and stand and worship.
Coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. Bow before and every knee will bow before Him.
As we prepare to go to My Three this morning, and it being the 4th of July weekend and 250 years, I'm a history nerd, and I want to share a little bit of a historical fact that a lot of people don't know about our nation. After the founding of our nation in 1776 and the Declaration of Independence was done, when the First Continental Congress came together for their very first time, and they were beginning what we call the American experiment, they spent the first 2 hours in session in prayer and scripture reading. This is actually something that's recorded because they understood that for this to work, they needed Jesus. They needed God. And what an awesome example that is for each of us, and a reminder that we can't do any of this alone, that we need Jesus and we need God. And it's the same thing when we go out to reach others for Jesus. We can't do it. We don't save anyone. We have to give it to Him and let Him be the one who transforms the hearts and the minds. So this morning, I want you guys to think about those three people in your life that don't know Jesus. I want you to think about them and lift them up to the Lord in prayer, remembering the power of prayer, and remembering that we're called to take all of our struggles and burdens and stuff to Jesus, no matter what we face. So let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, and Lord, we know so many people in our lives that don't know who You are, that are walking around with no knowledge or understanding. Father, that are carrying these heavy burdens, and they don't know what to do. Lord, we want to lift them up by name right now, because we know that You can carry those burdens. We know that You can lighten the load for them, that You can give them a new life, a new hope. And Father, may You just give them a new heart, one that pursues You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just continue.
To
angels commands all the hosts of heaven. Who else could make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. What other beauty demands such praises? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty rules with justice?
It says in Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, it says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We can rest assured this morning that he has already fought the battle and he's already won.
I'm fighting a battle you've already won.
No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. Come on, sing with me. There's peace that outlasts darkness, and hope that's in the blood. There's future grace that's mine today, that Jesus Christ has won. So I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands, and all I need you will provide, just like you always have. Come on, sing it out.
I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle.
There's mercy in the waiting, a manna for today. And when it's gone, I know you're not, you are my hope and stay. And when the sea is raging, your spirit is my help. He'll fix my eyes on Jesus Christ and say that it is well.
Come on.
Savior, my defense. No more fear in life or death. I know how the story ends, and we will be with you again. My Savior, my defense.
Come on, declare that this morning.
No more fear in life or death.
Here we go.
I know how the story ends, and we will be with you again. And you're my Savior, my
I Oh, Father, we say thank you that you've already won. No matter what we're going through, that you've already conquered it. So, Father, we just say thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and mercy and overcoming everything in this world. And you've already won. And when we declare that this morning over our lives and over all that we do, you've already won, Father. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Woo. Well, good morning, church. It's so good to be here this morning. Here with each of you guys this morning, and I love seeing all the different faces. I want to welcome our guests here this morning, along with those joining us online and the radio. We're thankful for each and every one of you guys. But before we get too far into the message this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we just thank you for the privilege and the honor that we have to come to you and to worship you, to praise you. Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us, for the opportunity that we have to study it, to learn from it, to grow from it. Lord, I ask that this message this morning may be from you and not from myself. Lord, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we pray that it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be diving back into our Returning King series that we started several weeks ago. And we're going to be picking up where we left off last week in Matthew chapter 25. And just so you know, this is our second to last one. Next week is the end of this series. And it's been inside of this passage that Jesus has been sharing a parable of the wise and foolish bridesmaids last week. And he stressed that we're called to have this state of readiness for his second coming, for his return. And then we come to our text this morning, found in verses 14 through 30, for those of you who want to follow along. And we see him stress that we're called, what we're called to do in this in-between time, this time between Jesus' first coming to Jesus' second coming. And he reminds us of the phrase that we've been going through throughout this little series. And it's simply, in uncertain days, faithful disciples live watchfully, serve diligently, and remain ready for the return of the King. Because none of us know the day or the hour that Jesus is coming back. Now, the parable this morning opens up with verses 14 and 15, where Jesus sets the stage for what's happening. And it says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey immediately." Now, there's a couple of things I want us to understand about this parable in context as we're breaking it down this morning. First, the master represents Jesus, and the servants represent each one of us. The second thing I want us to understand this morning is what a talent was. You see, a talent was a mass sum of money in Jesus' time. 1 talent would have been the equivalent to roughly 10 or 20 years of wages. I want us to think about that for a minute. So the master had entrusted a large sum to each one of the servants. None of them were left without. Not a single one could say they got nothing. Instead, each one of them was given responsibility to manage something for the master while he was gone. And it wasn't a small something either. Even the one with just 1 talent received a large amount. And you know what? It's the same thing God does for each of us. He's given each one of us gifts to use for his kingdom. Now, this morning, we're not talking about money, though these principles could be applied to our finances as well. Instead, we're talking about being faithful servants of Jesus, being faithful stewards of what God has already given us. Because each one of us have gifts that God has already given us to steward for his kingdom. You know, some of you guys have been blessed with finances. For others, you have this natural abilities and talents that others just don't have. Some of you have this ability to teach or to carry influence in the world around you, and so much more. No matter what gift or talent that you have that God has entrusted to you, he's entrusted it to you to use it to bring him honor, glory, and praise. And this morning, I want you to think about what those gifts and talents are that God has equipped in your life. Now, don't get me wrong. Not everyone gets the same gift. You guys ever notice that? Not everybody gets the same gift. My brother is a fantastic photographer. I am not. I can click and I can pull the trigger. You know, I know how to do that. But he's very gifted in that way. That's not where I'm gifted at. Each person has their own gifts and talents and stuff like that. Kerwin is a much better guitar player than I am. Don't tell him I said that. But not everybody gets the same gift. Even those with the same gift don't always get the same amount of the gift. And Jesus explains why this is in verse 15. He said that the master gave depending on each one's ability there at the end. And this is really important for us to understand because this wasn't the master playing favoritisms. This was the master using wisdom inside of that moment. In the same way, our Heavenly Father doesn't always hand out the same gifts to each and every one of us. He understands what each one of us are capable of handling in our life. You know, he understands where you're at in life today. He understands what struggles you already face day in and day out. He knows what strengths you have, and he's not going to give you something that you can't handle right now. Because God is not going to set you up to fail. Instead, what God does is he calls us to be faithful in what he's already entrusted to us in this moment. And you know, as Christians, we don't always like that answer. Because we can have this habit inside of our world, not just Christians, but where we compare our lives to others, comparing our gifts that God has given us to other people. Have you ever noticed that? Where you've got people who compare one thing or another. Sometimes people even compare ministries to one another. Or they compare their families and how to other families, or they compare jobs and titles, incomes, even our success to what other people around us have. Some people even compare their own influence to the influence of others. And that's a dangerous place to be as a Christian. Because when we begin to compare to others, it has this tendency to bring about pride inside of our lives or even discouragement in our lives. And that's not what God calls for us to do. Instead, we're called to be faithful with what he's already given us. Because at the end, he's not going to ask you, what did you do with someone else's gifts? What did you do with someone else's time? What did you do with someone else's talents? He's going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? And all God asks of us is to be faithful in what he's given us, not what he's given us. Inside of our parable this morning, we see that the three servants responded differently to what their master gave them. It tells us in verse 16 and 17 what the first two servants did. The man who had received five talents went, put them into work, and earned five more. In the same way, the man who earned two more. You know, the first two servants in our parable this morning didn't hesitate to put the master's money to work. They didn't hesitate to take the gift and use it. You know, as Christians, we're called to do the same thing with the gifts and the talents that God has given us, to use them for his glory. You know, some of you have natural talents and abilities to teach others. Others have natural abilities and the heart to encourage the world around you. Some of you have resources to give and give in abundance. On top of that, some of you have this wonderful leadership qualities about you and musical talents that God has already equipped you with. And on top of that, God has equipped some of you with unique ability for hospitality. Some of you have a testimony that can truly strengthen someone else's faith. And in no way is this an exhaustive list of what God gives out as gifts and talents and abilities to his people. In fact, it barely scratches the surface. But when we, his followers, use those gifts and talents and abilities as God has called us to, you know, we can multiply the kingdom 5, 10, and even 100-fold, especially when we work together, each one bringing their own gift and talent for his kingdom. But you know what I see happening over and over again, and I'm sure many of you guys have too. We see people responding as the third servant did in our parable this morning. It tells us in verse 18, But the man who had received one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, to the Jewish audience that was standing in front of Jesus at this time, the first two in our parable were faithful and wise with what the master had given them. But the third servant operated out of fear. And like I was saying, the Jewish audience in front of Jesus at that time would have been used to somebody burying something valuable. It was a common practice. It was a way of protecting it from thieves at that time. And from a human perspective, the servant probably thought he was being careful with what the master gave him. He wasn't being lazy in the sense of doing absolutely nothing. His intentions was to protect the money. The problem is, though, he completely missed the purpose of the master giving him that gift. How often do we miss the purpose of God giving us the gifts that he's given us? You know, as Christians, we can be really good at preserving our faith, but we can be really bad at practicing at times. You know, we attend church, we read our Bibles, we avoid certain sins, but even with all of that, we never step into the ministries that God has called us to. We never use the gifts and the talents that God has given us to do his work. Instead, we sit back and we wait. We make up excuses on why we can't do it right now. We say things like, we'll serve when life slows down. We'll give when we make more money. We'll volunteer when our kids are older. I'll share my faith when I know more scripture. But the truth is, delayed obedience is disobedience. The faithful servants in our parable this morning understood what the master had given them was meant to be used immediately, not just someday down the road. But the unfaithful servant squandered away the gift by hiding it. And each one of these decisions reveals the heart of the servant. The first two servants clearly trusted the master. But the third servant in our parable, his hesitation showed his distrust and ultimately the fear that he had of his master. In the same way, our actions and how we use the gifts that God has given us often reveal what we truly believe about God. If we truly believe that God is faithful, we will obey him. If we truly trust in his promises, we will take those steps of faith. But if we doubt God, we can often find ourselves delaying our response to him. You know, many of us don't need another Bible study on serving. Instead, we just need to start serving. We don't need more information. Instead, we just need to be more obedient, using the gifts that God has already given us to serve his kingdom. The greater danger isn't making a mistake while serving God. I want you guys to hear me on this. You are not powerful enough to screw up God's plan. If you're walking in obedience and doing what he's asked of you, even if you think you've made a mistake, you're not powerful enough to screw up his plans. He just asked for us to walk in obedience in that moment. Because the greater danger is actually allowing fear, comfort, and procrastination to keep us from ever using what God has already given us. Because we need to understand when Jesus comes back, we're going to have to give an account for how we use those gifts, how we use those talents and resources that he's given us. And he makes this very clear in the second part of our passage this morning. Jesus says in verse 19, "After a long time, the master of those servants came, and he settled accounts with them." It's here that we see the master coming back, and he goes to all three of his servants and asks them, "What did you do with what I gave you?" In the same way, same thing Jesus will do to each of us when he returns. We have to give an account for what we did with the gifts that he's given us. And let me be clear, you're not going to give an answer for what your spouse did with their gifts. You're not going to give an answer for what your children did or what your parents did. In fact, you're not even going to have to give an answer for what your pastor or your church did. You're going to have to answer for what you did with the gifts that God has given you and no one else. When Jesus comes back, he's not going to ask us to compare our lives to other people. He's going to ask you, "What did you do with what I entrusted to you?" This should change our perspective when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our serving, because the Christian life is not competition. We're not in competition with our brothers and sisters that are beside us. We're not in competition with the church down the road. We're not in competition with other believers by any means. We're coming together as one to serve a holy God. and to steward what God has given us. Because that is the Christian life, is to be stewards for the kingdom. Because everything good that we have in life comes from Jesus. And I don't know about you, I want to be able to respond like the first two servants respond when the master comes back. In fact, it tells us in verses 20 through 22, I love this response. Verse 20, it says, the man who had received five talents approached and presented five more talents and said, Master, you gave me five talents, and see, I've earned five more talents. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Next it says, then the man with two talents also approached, and he said, Master, you gave me two talents. See, I've earned two more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. You know, I love the excitement that's expressed inside of this passage. The first two servants were overjoyed with what they were able to present the master inside of that moment. Even though both of them got a different starting amount and both of them had a different amount to offer the master, there was still this sense of excitement in both of them to be able to show the master what they were able to accomplish with the gifts that were given to them. Even with the one with only two more, was just as excited as the one with five more. He didn't go to the master with his head hung low. Well, I know you got five more from him, but here's two more. No, he was excited. He found joy in that moment of what he was able to accomplish with what was given to him. And the master rewarded both of them greatly for it. Did you notice they both got the same reward? They both got the same reward. They got to share in their master's joy because they were faithful in what God had given them. But the third servant, well, he came at this very differently. In fact, it tells us in verse 24 and 25, the man who received one talent also approached and said, Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown, gathered where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. The third servant here had a skewed view of the master. You may have wondered in the beginning, why did he bury the gift? And we can clearly see why inside of this. He buried it out of fear. And this wasn't just simple fear of losing the money. This was fear rooted in a distorted view of his master. He saw the master as this harsh, unreasonable, and even impossible person to please. And because he had this misunderstanding of the master's character, he completely misunderstood the master's expectations. You know, the same way for us, how we serve God, the way that we is often the way that we view God. And the way that we view God often shapes the way that we serve him. If we see God as this harsh being, we often serve him reluctantly. If we see him as this distant being, we find no joy in our service to him. And we start making excuses like the third servant did. You know, he started off with the words, I know you're a harsh man. He's blaming the master's character for his own lack of obedience. And if we're honest, it's the same thing we often do to God. We blame God for our lack of obedience over and over again. You know, how many times do we hear people say, we say things like, God, if only you had given me more, then I could have gone and done that. If only you had given me other opportunities. I didn't like the ones you gave me. If you'd given me these other ones, then I could have served you. You know, if only you had given me the same as this person over here, then I could have done something for you too. If only my circumstances were different. We have this habit of blaming God for our inability to move because we don't want to take responsibility and use the gifts that he's already given us. And the servant in our parable wanted the master to accept his excuse. But the master saw the heart of the servant and he exposed the inconsistencies of his thoughts. It tells us in verse 26 and 27, His master replied to him, "You evil, lazy servant, if you had known that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and I would have received my money back with interest when I returned." You know, if the servant truly believed all of this stuff about the master, he would have at least put the money in the bank. And it's here that we see his excuses falling apart. There's a lesson in this that we all need to learn. And it's simply that God is not looking for perfect results. He's looking for faithful obedience. You know, we may not always succeed in the way that we hope we would, but excuses have never accomplished the will of God. I have failed many times in ministry. I can tell you, I have failed more times than I can count. Or at least what looked like to failure to me in the worldly standards, only to later discover that it was exactly what God needed me to do inside of that moment. God doesn't expect perfection, at least not in my worldly standards. The only thing he asks of you and I is faithful obedience in what he's called us to do. He does the rest. But when we're not obedient, when we bury the gifts that God has given us, do you guys know he removes those gifts? He removes us from that moment. And we can see this in verse 28 and 29. Actually tells us, "So take the talent from this and give it to the one who has been 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But for the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." You know, I understand within our culture at first glance, this seems unfair. This seems unfair in that moment. But Jesus is teaching a kingdom principle inside of this parable. The one that is faithful with God, with what God has given him, will be entrusted with more. But the one who continuously refuses to use the gifts that God has given them loses the opportunity altogether. Throughout the Bible, we've seen God increase his responsibilities where he finds faithfulness. I just want you to think back on some of those stories that many of you have learned growing up in Sunday school and different areas. Think of Joseph, who was faithful to God in all seasons and served him faithfully, even all the way up to being in jail before he ever became ruler of Egypt. David, he was a faithful shepherd boy before he ever became king. Young Timothy was faithful in his ministry, walking with Paul before he ever received greater responsibility. Think about the disciples and all those years that they walked with Jesus before they ever carried out the ministry that they were called to at the end. That same principle applies to ministry today. I've met many people who claim to have some kind of call to ministry from God. They have all of these things that God is calling them to do, yet they're unwilling to serve in the simplest ways. We need to remember that faithfulness invites greater opportunity for service, but the opposite is also true. When we constantly neglect what God has given us, we shouldn't be surprised when those opportunities are removed. Jesus ends this particular passage with these sobering words in verse 30. He says, "And throw this good-for-nothing servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." These are the strongest words inside of our parable. In fact, these are some of the strongest words throughout the Bible, and they remind us that our relationship with Jesus is revealed through the fruit of our lives. The third servant inside of our parable this morning's problem wasn't that he failed to make money. Instead, it was that his actions revealed a heart that had no genuine love or trust in the master. Throughout the Bible, we are constantly reminded that true faith produces faithful obedience. Now, don't get me wrong, good works do not save us, but they are evidence of a life that's been transformed by God's grace. This warning this morning should lead us to examine our own hearts and our own minds. Not to trust in our own works for salvation, but to ask whether our lives demonstrate a genuine faith in Jesus. Our parable this morning points us back to one great reality. The Master is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And he's calling us to live faithfully whilst we wait for his return. Remembering this phrase, in uncertain days, faithful disciples, live watchfully, serve diligently, and remain ready for the return of the King. You know, each and every day we make investments into our future. Some of these investments are temporary, others are eternal. But when we invest into the eternal, when we share the gospel, when we disciple others, when we serve faithfully in the church, raise our children to know who Jesus is, when we give generously, when we use our gifts and talents for God's glory, when we love our neighbors in the name of Jesus, each of those investments never lose their value. As we come to the end of our message this morning, ask yourself, what has God entrusted to me that I've been neglecting? Have I allowed fear, comfort, or busyness to bury my calling? If Jesus returned today, would he find me faithfully investing what he's given me? And am I living for a temporary success or eternal reward? Because one day Jesus will return. And on that day, our careers, our bank accounts, our titles, even our earthly achievements won't mean a thing compared to this one question. Was I faithful with what God has placed into my hands? So what are you doing with what God has given you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, I thank you for each person that is here. I thank you for the gifts, the talents, and the resources that you've handed out to each one of them. Lord, may we examine our hearts this morning. May we see where we've been holding back from giving everything over to you. May we see where we've been burying the gifts that you've given us. And may we make a decision to start using it for your glory, your honor, and your praise. To step out into those ministries that you've called us to step out into. Lord, we thank you for this reminder. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go ahead and stand.
You unraveled me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave. Child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
In your minds this week, I want you to search and think about the gifts and talents and resources that God has already given you and how you can use them for the kingdom. With that being said, we will have our prayer partners up here. If you need prayer this morning, if you need somebody to stand in the gap with you, they're ready for that prayer and that prayer meeting in 15 minutes. In case you're new here, we love prayer around here, okay? So God bless. Have a great week.
Split the sea so I could walk right through it. Your treasures held in perfect love. At the river I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.